Welcome to Healthy Made Easy with Dr. Drew, a show where you receive cutting-edge tips, tricks, and motivation to change your life. Join us as we debunk what doesn't work and give you truth about the art and science of health transformation. Here's your host, Dr. Drew Brazier.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 14. We are going to jump right in here to part two of our interview with Rod and his experience of going from the deathbed to Ironman. Truly, he has so many nuggets. Oftentimes when I listen to a podcast, there's one, two, three, maybe four nuggets whenever I listen to very motivational podcasts. In this two-part series, there are 20 to 30 different nuggets that I've pulled away. It is incredible what he has taught us. And I want you to make sure that you've gone back through part one, which is episode 13, before you jump in here into part two. In part two, he's going to bring us up to date of what it happened as far as getting him now to preparing to go do Ironman this coming spring. So it's incredible, the rest of this journey. There's so much more that goes on here in this part two of our interview with Rod. So we are going to jump into that here in just a minute. Also, I'd like to encourage you to go to drdrewbrazier.com. I have so many free resources that you can jump into. If you're wanting to focus on your morning routines, you're trying to overcome any triggers for cravings, there's so many different free bits of information that you can dive into and get your hands on. And so I would encourage you, again, go to drdrewbrazier.com and enjoy all the free resources that we have. Alrighty, let's jump in with our friend Rod here. It's going to get real, it's going to get dirty, but it is definitely a wonderful motivation and learning experience. All right, we're going to jump right in. It's right in the middle of the conversation because we split it right in half from part one. So we're just diving right in here with Rod. Let's go.
Myself. So the virus came back again. Now, not only am I dealing with all that pain, but now I'm dealing with the pins and needles and all of the Guillain-Barré pain. So that kind of threw me in a spiral down. And over the last 23 years, there were a lot of events that you're just going to have to go to my book to find out because they're still too personal. Mm-hmm. They won't be shared on a podcast or anything else. They'll be in my book.
Yeah.
But I can guarantee you that in that next 20 or in that 23 years, that there is probably every circumstance that you could come up against, from death, divorce, financial destitution, death many times. I was on death's bed quite a few times. That was presented in my life. I had lived in Utah. It had always been a goal of mine to move up here to Idaho. And so prior to moving up here, there was a doctor that said, I can help you with your pain management. And he had me on morphine at the highest level you could have without going into the hospital. And then he gave me four additional pills just for immediate pain relief. I mean, it was intense. I was in a bad place health-wise. And so I continued to see him, but what happened was, is I was starting to overdose on this. I was starting to be lethargic. I couldn't think. I was, you know, I was sleeping. And so we went down to go ahead and have him change that, and he was gone. So we called his office in Park City, and he was gone. The doctor had lost his license 3 months before I came along to the state of Idaho. He was, or state of Utah. He was still practicing. But he had lost his license because he had overdosed several client patients that had died.
Oh.
And so here I am, overdosed. No doctor's going to take me at that point. And with Guillain-Barré, with an incredible myriad of health problems that I wouldn't know that I had till later, trying to deal with it. So I ended up moving up to Idaho. That had always been my goal. And when I got up here after the move, I just collapsed. I was done. I had nothing more to give. In the move, I ended up having a safe fall on me, and it broke my left leg and broke four of my right toes.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm going to Idaho with four of my right toes broken, Left leg, I'm not going to let him put a cast on either because I need to drive. I have Guillain-Barré. I've been overdosed, and I'm in incredible pain. And most people at that point in time would just lay down and die. But you don't. You just go through one day at a time, and you just do the best you can do. I can remember taking all day to do what takes me 10 minutes to do today. But I had to, Drew, mentally be in the game, because once I mentally said that I'm done, I was done. I put that out to the universe. And so we got up here. I went in to ReadyCare up here. They did some surgeries on my lower lumbar because, again, I had the virus. And what happened was they found out that I had two deteriorated discs in my back and two deteriorated hips. I then found this general practitioner that he's the centerpiece for, he's the doctor that took me to the rest of the team. I interviewed him. I told him I wanted mental health, I wanted natural health, and I wanted medical help. Could he help me? And he said, absolutely. And let me tell you why I can help you. See, now the difference was, instead of me going to him, just trusting him, I was interviewing him.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm done with this. Either you can help me and you buy into my philosophy to get me better, or you can't. Mm-hmm. And that's huge when we're putting our teams together.
Absolutely.
We do not want to have people that are going to go against what we're saying, that don't believe in that, that aren't willing to sell out to it. So he did. He led me to the surgeon who took a look at my hips. That was a funny story because I refused to come in on a cane or a walker. So I had a trekking pole. And I walk in with my MRI and he looks at the MRI and he says, can I get your driver's license? And I said, why? I just did that out, you know, when I checked in. He says, can I get your driver's license? And I'm going, oh, man. Really? So I gave him my driver's license. He came back in and he said, I had to make sure this was you because you shouldn't be walking. There's no way medically you should be walking. But see, that mental toughness is, at what point do you have to say, I'm done? I can get off the merry-go-round for a day just because I need the break for mental and emotional health, but I'm back into the race no matter where I'm at the next day. And so he then said, so you've got a hip that's out of place. It's pretty bad. It's one of the worst I've seen. And I said, okay, can you put in a new hip that's worthy of the Ironman in Kona, Hawaii? He says, what's that? And I told him, and he just started laughing. And I got up, was getting ready to walk out. Because I'd had the experience with that previous doctor that said, mm-hmm. give it up. And he said, whoa, stop. He said, why are you walking out? I says, because you know what? I'm going to Kona, Hawaii, and I'm doing the Ironman. And he said, let's talk. And then he sat down, and the reality of that talk set the foundation that we went forward from there. He said, yes, I've never had somebody come in here, get a hip replacement, and do the Ironman. But you have only so many clicks on that, and when they're up, you're done. And I said, great, I'll be back here in 5 years because I'm doing the Ironman.
Nice.
And so he then led me really quickly. He then led me to the pain specialist who became a team member, what I call the medical team, dream team, Dr. Poston. And he started handling all of my pain management, which was huge, huge task. And then I was led to, you know, a number of other people within the community. I was led to a mental health. We have to have mental health in all this process. We have to have somebody that can come in and help us see that we're okay, that can help us see that, you know, okay, you know, if you just change this thinking a little, it might help you, or have self-care. And so mm-hmm. that was powerful. And so I had a mental health specialist. I had a chiropractor. And then ultimately, Boston Scientific came into the part because I had 9 surgeries in 9 months. My last set of surgeries was 9. I had both hips replaced. I had both knees scoped. I had one knee replaced. I had a hiatal hernia. I had a Nissan stomach reconstruction. I had several other major procedures. And then the tenth surgery, just a little over a year later, was to put a spinal stimulator in my back that would manage my pain because of 2 deteriorated discs and an impeded sciatic nerve. So Boston Scientific are the ones that stuck that spinal stimulator in my back. And what I did was every one of them, I said, is this Iron Man worthy? Because if it's not, I don't want it. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Poston, after hearing the story, in the 10th surgery, said to me, quit being selfish. Now, I'm getting ready to go under, you know, he's got a scalpel. I'm going, what am I doing? And he says, your story is so huge. It's a story of hope. People need to see this. It's inspiring. Quit being selfish. Quit being private, because I'm a private person. Those goals were not to be announced to the world. Those goals were to be me, my family, and the Ironman Federation in Hawaii. That's all I wanted. I didn't want sponsors. I didn't want anything. And so when he said that, he had the scalpel, and I was going under.
He kind of got to listen.
Yes, I listened. But no, in reality, he that was a turning point for me, because then I started thinking, maybe I should share it. And I started sharing it. And then I started going out and putting together the team after all that was done. It took me 2 years to do physical therapy because I was going through the surgery so fast that what would be typical physical therapy, I didn't have time. I was well into another surgery. Now, just a side note, this is pretty serious, so I'm going to lighten it. But this really is the reality of my journey. My first surgery out, I end up with tachycardia because of the medications. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I'm peacefully sleeping, not knowing I'm going through it. Another God mercy. And they come in and they say, we'd like to walk you from here to the door, so about 5 feet. And I'm feeling so much better because the surgical pain is just a fraction of what the long-term pain had been with a hip that was deteriorated half an inch below the top. And, you know, and so I said, do you have ice cream? And they said, yeah, would you like some? And I said, I would. They said, well, after you walk to the door. I said, no, where's the ice cream? They said, down in the hall. And I said, well, let's go. Well, no, Mr. Hutchins, you can't do that. That's too far. And I said, let's go. Mr. Hutchins, you can't do that. And I said, get me another physical therapist, because I'm going to get that ice cream. Well, that physical therapist was assigned to me, so really he had no choice. And we walked down, and I got me two of those hospital ice creams, ate them there, and then brought two back with me. Mm-hmm. And ironically enough, for the rest of my surgeries, I would be on the same floor with the same physical therapy people, same nurses, and they would say right after surgery, so are you ready to go get some ice cream? Or, Rod, it's time to do your walk now. Let's go get some ice cream. I think I probably bought my value in ice cream from them. So.
That's awesome. That, you know, that's, I love this story. And what I'm really hearing you say in all this is at the very beginning of us talking today, you said, I was taught to be a finisher and to learn from others.
Yes.
Right. And everything you're talking about in this is exactly that, of finishing, okay, and also learning from others, because you keep talking about your team, right, which I think is beautiful.
Do we have time to talk about
Absolutely,
that?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so that idea of surrounding myself with a team of 5 doctors that could help me and interviewing them and making sure they were in line with what I wanted was the first powerful point of realizing that I truly am in control of my journey. And if there are people that are not in alignment with that journey, it's okay, they're not bad people, they're just not the people I need to surround myself with. So I got through that, and I never let go of that idea of the iron going to Kona, Hawaii. That has never once faded in my mind from the time it was burned in on that day after I was told I was going to die. There was a chance. And so I sat down and I said, what do I need? Okay, well, this is where I'm at, and this is kind of what I was talking in the very beginning. What do I need? Well, I need somebody who's really good at bikes, who knows the biking portion of that, because that's 112 miles.
Yeah, you better know a bike.
I know. I need trainers and a club that can have everything I need and the trainers that are competent to train me how to do the Ironman, because this isn't just a local marathon. I need people who, and then I went through and, you know, I need people who can teach me how to swim. And then I was 284 pounds in October of last year, 2016, and I'm now down to 204 pounds.
Wow.
And how I'd done that is I changed my diet, again, changing our habits. And I changed my diet, and what I did is I started drinking more waters and herbal teas that would help build up my system. But then, with a busy schedule of work and kids and everything, I would go to Subway and get one of their foot longs, have them cut it in half, wrap it in two, and I'd have one day and one the other day. Now, what I'm about to say is what we don't see. I call them God drops. In fact, my national marketing director, Becky Sampson, and I talk about this. They're God drops. They're those times in our lives where people are inspired to align with us that normally wouldn't, that are literally life-changing. And on one particular day, I had a God drop. That morning, in my abundance and my law of attraction prayer, I thank God for the mercies or for the miracles that He was going to create in my life that day, for the people that were being prepared to meet me, and for the blessings of that day and for being alive. And that's the law of abundance, and that's huge, like you said, being grateful, because when you're grateful, you're not focused on your problems. Mm-hmm. You're only focused on the possibilities. I went into work, and then the prompting came, go ahead and go to the Apple Athletic Club. And it's like, I don't do that on Saturdays. We'll go anyway. I don't do that. And see, we have this tendency to wrestle with these things. Stop wrestling. Just do it. So I went in, and I did it. Well, I did my workout, and when I got there, after I got through with my workout, I was getting dressed, and this guy in his 70s came up behind me and said, who are you? I'm in the locker room in an Apple Athletic Club, and I have a 70-year-old asking this 29-year-old how, you know, who am I? And I said, who wants to know? He says, I do. I was inspired to come here today, and I'm inspired to come directly to you to find out who you are. And it was like, okay, God, I get it. My name is Rod Hutchins. He says, you come here every day? And I says, I do. He says, why? And because I'm on this Ironman journey. Really, Ironman, yeah. And he heard the story, and he started crying. And he said, you know what? We need you as our national face of Subway. And I said, Subway? He says, yeah, I own the 9 Eastern Idaho Subways. And I said, you do? And that's pretty crazy, because right now when I get through, I'm going out to eat one of your Subway sandwiches. Well, that started the alignment of another Iron Dream Team member. We got together, and they are providing me the food that I need to continue to lose weight. They are going to be in Hawaii. We're going to see if we can arrange food there for all those that are participating from Subway. That was a God drop. Then I go to Apple Athletic. I meet the owners, because I go to the owners. I go to decision makers, Drew. I learned that I can go through a lot of stress if I just start from the newest person there. Yeah. And if stress reduction means losing it, I just go right to the decision makers. And we teach people how to do this. So I went to Steve Volkovich and I said, this is my journey. He's going, oh my gosh, kid, you're crazy. Well, we've heard that before, right? Yeah. The doctor and everyone else. And as I told to him, he just got a little emotional. And he said, you know how many people need this story? Of course we'd like to be a part of this. Well, then they provided a trainer that was a core trainer that had to take me from the very beginning of no health and start me on that path to the Ironman. And, you know, I remember 5 minutes being on the bike thinking I was going to die, the stationary bike. And then we graduated from the stationary bike to the treadmill. And then we graduated doing both for 5 minutes. And then it was 20 minutes. And then we got to a point where it was like, okay, he was moving, but I was doing pretty good. I was doing 20 minutes twice a week on the treadmill and 20 minutes twice a week on the bike.
Wow, there you go.
Well, what happened really quickly was that then Mike came in, Mike Taylor. And Mike, you recall this, we all sat down together.
Mm-hmm, I do.
And Mike is one of those visionaries that just knows how to get it done. He sat down. He took that responsibility on himself, and the next, shortly after, he sat down and he put together a schedule of every day's workouts all the way to Kona, Hawaii. And now that's not a small task, because what he's also dealing with is someone who's at a deficit, that has false hips, that has a bad back. And so the Iron Dream Team was formed that way. We have Bill's Bike and Run, we have Apple Athletic, we have Subway. A mentor who's a national life coach, I was in a meeting with him one day with a group of people, and he said, who wants to share their goal? And I did. And he laughed, and he said, you're not going to do it. And I looked at him, and he says, how many people in here think he's going to do it? Well, they all knew me, and they all raised their hand. And he says, I stand corrected. And my immediate response, Drew, and this is powerful, I want your listening audience to get this. because it's the difference between victim and empowerment. I said to him in front of that group, after he said, I stand corrected, I said, are you enough? And then I stopped and I looked at him. He said, excuse me, what does that mean? And I says, are you enough? He says, I'm not sure you understand what I'm saying. Or, you know, I understand what you're saying. He said, are you enough to help me mentally get prepared to go to Kona, Hawaii, so when I come up against the wall, because I know I will, that I can get through it? There was a pause, and he said, I am more than enough, and I am more than honored to help you in this process. Another God drop. Didn't expect it that day. And we do. Once a week, we have a mastermind call where we talk about my challenges and my victories and everything. And then every day, I'm accounting to him and Mike on how I did on my training for that day. So the Iron Dream Team was put together that way. Larry Gilowitz, the Subway owners recommended Columbus Travel out of Bountiful because they traveled all around the world through these guys. And so I went down there and met with the two owners again, told them my story, and they said, wow, this is incredible. And after we agreed that they were going to become Iron Dream Team members, because that's by invite only, one of them said, do you know who this guy next to me is? And I said, well, yeah, it's Larry Gilowitz. He says, no, I can tell you don't know who he is. And I said, okay, help me understand. He says, have you ever heard the movie Forever Strong? And I said, well, yeah, my son loves it. We watch that a lot. He says, this is the man who that story was made after. And Larry was saying, Rod, this is just a phenomenal story. And I'm saying, no, Larry, your story is phenomenal. He says, and this is incredible. But that was a God drop. And they're part of the process. And now September 23rd, we are officially kicking this off. And, you know, if you want to hear about that, I'll tell you more about that.
Yeah. No, which I think is beautiful. And when you say September 23rd, just real quick, what are you kicking off there? And then when are you doing Kona? That's this year, okay. Right?
Or yeah, no, it's next year. September 23rd is the official launch of the Iron Dream Team.
Okay.
It's the official introduction. I went upon Mike's recommendation to two triathlons. I completed the first. The second one, I came in third place in my division.
Yeah, the Snake and River, right?
Snake River. Yeah, that was so much fun. And I was surprised, too. I went up to the race director and I said, was there only three in my division? You know, he assured me there wasn't. But so that, there were the local channel, TV channel was there that day, and they interviewed me, and they were so touched with the story that they interviewed the Iron Dream Team members there. They went back that night, they aired it, and 2 days later they put it across the Associated Press, or they put it across their national channel, that so any station can take it. We went from 1,000 hits to 750,000 views in 48 hours.
Wow.
All across the country. And then they went ahead, and that was on ABC and CBS. Then they went ahead and put it on CNN and Fox. We flew over 1.5 million. We haven't even kicked this off yet. Mm-hmm. So September 23rd, we're kicking this off. We're going to meet at the Hillcrest Auditorium, I believe. That's being finalized today. For 2 hours, the Iron Dream Team is all going to come together so they can meet each other. And we're going to have a brunch and just socialize. And then after that, then we're going into the auditorium where I'll be introduced by my national marketing director, and then I'll introduce the Iron Dream Team and talk about how, why they were chosen. And then I'll introduce Larry Gilowitz from Forever Strong, who will talk for 20 minutes. And then we're going to watch the movie Forever Strong.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but here's what's cool. That same channel that got the first story said, we want to be a part of the Dream Team. So after we went through the processes, I said, okay, so they are going to be following this story then. They'll be there.
Nice.
They're going to capture it, and guess what's going to happen again? It's going to go out on the AP. And what I have learned from that, it was most humbling, was that just like your experience, I hear that all the time. I heard it, and I got emotional. And it's humbling to me, but it's also a great sign that Dr. Poston was right. I needed to share my story, because really when you get emotional, it's not about my story. It's about where you are in your life. And it's where you want to be.
Yeah.
And what you're hearing is someone who decided to be where they wanted to be, and that's encouraging. That's a message of hope. But that one event that you had coming today to work with your sunglasses down was the seed of great change in your life, mm-hmm. without being told that you may not make it for mm-hmm. another week.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely giving me the chills as you're saying that. And, you know, I think this is beautiful. You've hit on so many different points that we could write the best self-help book right here. Just publish a transcript and there we go. But one thing that you said here, and I want, before we go into that, is I want to bring you back on here in, you know, a month or so, or you know, sometime here in the very near future, because I also want to talk about in another episode of what is your training like, of what is it like. You know, I know that you have falls, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you have all of that, and we're going to go in on another episode okay. and go into that further, because I want people to know, just because we make that choice, just because we're determined, doesn't mean it's going to be flowers every single day.
No.
We're going to be eating dirt and pavement, literally, sometimes.
You will, literally. Like Mike said on the TV interview, if you go to my webpage, on the webpage is the interview that the TV did. Mike Taylor said it best. He says, you know, Rod's the type of person that when he falls down on the road, blood and all, he gets up and he gets going.
Video. Yeah. Yeah,
and I've fallen down enough times, but falling down is part of stepping up.
Yeah.
You know, each time I fall down, I just say, man, I'm one more fall down closer to Kona, Hawaii.
Yeah, that's right.
And I get back up. I did it just this Saturday.
Yeah. It gives you new perspective, doesn't it, Rod? Each time you fall down, you get a new look, literally, on life from a different vantage point.
You know, I remember.
And it opens your horizon.
That's right.
One day doing 50 miles, and I fell in the first 10 feet of that. And was all bloody, and went down to Apple Athletic and said, can I park my bike here while I swim? And they said, no, you're going to clean up the blood that's on the floor. We've got to clean it up. And there was a big pool of blood there.
Yeah.
I had bled all the way, you know, some 10, 15 miles. Now, I think that's where you got that story from.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Later that night, on the last 10 minutes of that journey, on the same hill, I fell again. And I laid down, and I was looking at beautiful stars in the city, and I said, thank you, God, because it's crazy that one would fall two times in a day on the same journey. What am I to learn? Mm-hmm. And you know what I learned that day? Is that you're going to fall down all the time, because that's the process of growing and developing. It's like Mike said, you get a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And you come out stronger, and you come out taller. When I fell down Saturday, it was actually a bike misfunction. I just laughed, and I got back up, and I was on the first half hour of a 2-hour and 40-minute ride. But you know what's cool, Drew? That day I did my personal best. I went 32-plus miles with a bloody knee, a banged-up arm, and a grin on my face from ear to ear. You know why? Because that option was so much better than being in the hospital, paralyzed, having a doctor tell me, you may not live for the next week. It's all about perspective.
That's right. And man, that's awesome. And you hit on the focus on the possibilities, right? And before we wrap up, and here in a minute, I want you to, you know, take 30 to 60 seconds of the last words that you would tell the listeners of wrapping all of this up. So I want you thinking about that as I make this statement of, you said, focus on possibilities. Right. So often we focus on what's limiting us. We focus on impediments. We focus on the falls. We don't focus on how am I going to get over that, through it, around it. Right. You are a living, breathing example of this in a very extreme, dramatic way that you didn't want to be. You didn't think about
it. Oh, no, I didn't sign up for it. At least that I remember.
No, but you're here and you're doing it.
Yes.
And there are millions of people. And everyone that's listening to this knows that they have impediments. I have impediments in my life. And if I choose to focus on what possibilities are there, what are those two or three solutions that I'm going to try? And one of those solutions will stick. And maybe it won't. I might have to adapt it, right? But that's what I'm learning about your story. is there was solution after solution, and that solution took you to the next solution.
Absolutely, yes.
The only way that solutions would have been a failure is if you would have stopped completely. But you said, this never left my mind.
It was not an option not to do it. It still isn't. Even if I'm in a wheelchair, I will have Mike push me all around that course.
Yes.
And swim and bike.
Let's yeah. do it. And you know, with that, I'm just going to say this, and then we're going to, the next episode we do, we're going to bring Mike back with us, because I want to hear about kind of the training, like I said. And
I want to talk about it. I want to, you know, there's a lot of things that I wanted to say today, but I wanted to hear Rod's story. And there's new yeah. things that I've heard in the story today that I haven't in the past.
Yeah.
And it's just a tremendous story. But I think there's a lot more we can talk about, too, as we talk about the training and the things yeah. that Rod's going through. It's just, it's a tremendous story, a story of inspiration. And I think that, like you guys said, millions of people could benefit from this.
Yeah. Well, and I think what's cool, Mike, is in him coming to you, you didn't doubt. You said, well, here's what we need to do every day, right? And so, you know, I think that that's part of who you are, too, and how you view life and why you've helped so many people. Right. And in your own life, of you look at those possibilities, right? Let's not look at the problems holding us back. Well, let's look at them and then say, what are the solutions? Mm-hmm. And how can we keep working out those solutions to make it work? So we'll talk about that here in the future, but it reminds me of a race that I recently did, a trail race, of where the race director, Ty Draney, said, lack of will is not an option.
That's right.
Right, because basically we're out in the mountains and either the horses or the helicopter would get you if you had lack of will.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
it. There was no that's way right. out. And he's very serious about that. But that's kind of what I'm hearing you say here, too, is focus on the possibilities and quitting and lack of will. It's not an option in this. So in the last 30 to 60 seconds here, remember, you're going to be back on the show here pretty soon. What are any last words of wisdom beyond what you have already shared with us that you want to share with the audience?
I think I can sum it up very quickly in four words. You can do it. You've just got to decide. You can go ahead and start working on your mental health to get better if you're not in a healthy position. You can start working on your physical health if you're not healthy and you've got bad habits. You can start working on your emotional health, seeing what it is that inspires you and what draws you back. Self-care is huge. And so in 30 seconds, self-care is the blanket that covers you can do it. Make the decision. Don't take a look at where you're at. Decide what it is you want to do in your life. What is your purpose? If you could not fail and you had God's help, what would you choose to do? That's how I chose those 70 things. Finances didn't come into it. Health didn't come into it. Marital situations didn't come into it. It was just God and I. And God doesn't fail. And I'm his partner. So I just had to work like it all depended on me and pray like it all depended on him. But it required health care and making the decision.
Perfect. Can't say anything beyond that, except for everyone listening to learn from what we are listening to here today. And at the end of the day, the answers all are right inside of us.
Yes.
And you are living, breathing example of that. Thank you so much for coming on. We'll be talking here soon.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you for tuning in to another Cutting Edge episode with Dr. Drew. Please make sure to get your free downloadable. Remember, you are the answer you're looking for.